loving, a little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line, once again, 251-343-0106. So to come on the program about an hour from now from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, our friend Joey Clark will be with us. Then at 11 o'clock hour, you'll want to stay tuned for this. Our senior U.S. Senator, Tommy Tuberville. So that is what is on the way. But joining us now, always a pleasure to bring on our friend, friend of the program, Congressman Barry Moore. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, we are doing good. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, thank you for making time for us. We do appreciate it. Let's kick it off here. And I mean, it's what's leading the news from everywhere that I can tell, despite the world being on fire. But New York City and Donald Trump on trial, sitting in a courtroom, having to deal with this. You've seen it, and you've seen some of the people that have gone up there to support him. I mean, what's your reaction to what we're seeing so far?
Well, I think Donald Trump seems to always land on his feet, Jeff, and I don't know any other way to explain it. I mean, whether when they indicted him, he kept saying, if they indict me, I'll win this thing without a runoff. And he just, to me, it seems like the more they go after him, the more the American people come to his rescue. And I think in some ways there's a base out there, and we've talked about this on the show before, but there is a base out there that is looking for a fighter. And I don't know if they like the way he says it, but they like the way he swings. And so sometimes I think they get behind him, man. And so he is, as they continue to push and to try to quiet him and silence him, it, like you said, it defies gravity, but he goes up in the polls. And so it's a weird thing. It's a historic time, I think, if you watch it. But certainly the mass of humanity in this country, the people that shut down Bud Light, they're still there, and apparently they're growing in numbers.
Well, yeah, and you look at this, the laws of physics here. You have a twice impeached president sitting in a courtroom for criminal charges right now, who is up ahead in a lot of polls, swing state and national polls, over the incumbent U.S. president. That on paper, it should be a blowout for Biden, but I guess it's more of a statement on how terrible that Joe Biden is.
That, and I think how the American people, I think that when the town halls that I did around the country, the number one thing, or at least around the district, the major concern was the weaponization of government and this term lawfare. And this was happening early in August of 21 when I was out town halls. People were then starting to express concerns about the government going after political opponents. Back then, we had no idea they were going to arrest Trump. We didn't know he'd be indicted, but we certainly had seen the impeachment process play out. We had seen how they had just really impeached the man twice, 7 days before he left office. It looked so very political. And then January 6th, and the way so many of those people seemed like they were just political prisoners in a process. I'm not saying they should have went in the building, but certainly they deserve a speedy trial. And so the people begin to get nervous about that. So when they indicted Trump, maybe the things that they thought were possibly real are actually real, and that the government is, in fact, weaponized against political opponents and free speech and the things that we as American citizens value so much. And so I think that the wheels are running off the Biden train, so to speak, and I think the American people, because of the I love our country. That's something. There are times that you want to count us out, and it just seems like we always come back. We always survive, and I think we're seeing a move in this country, unlike anything political we've ever seen, that actually says we do need to put America first, that there is a border that needs to be secured in this country. We don't want the government coming after people. Even if we disagree with their speech, they should not be able to go after them. And so, brother, it defies gravity, but I am so grateful that it does.
Well, and, there's the other things going on around the world. I think it's taken our eye off the ball here, but your reaction to this, the way the Biden administration's handling Israel, taking armaments that have already been allotted to Israel by Congress through whatever funding mechanism, whatever resolution, but he's holding up his leverage over Israel not to conduct its ground game strategy against Hamas. you know, say what you want to about it, but I mean, it seems like this is way, way more serious than what they went after Trump for with Ukraine.
Way, way more serious. And to me, it's our ally in that region. I mean, and Genesis 12:3 says, if you bless Israel, you'd be blessed. And as those of us who are Christians in this country, we see Israel as the ally in the world. If you look at it, they are our ally, and they're the people that we must protect. And, you know, and for us to see Biden just somehow or another, they respond to the Hamas attack. They respond, you know, they're defensive by nature. Israel's defensive by nature. Their armor's reactive on their tanks. They use the Iron Dome. They use, you know, these things to protect themselves. They're never on the offensive. They have 15,000 people from Gaza coming over into Israel to work every day. This nation is a nation that seeks peace. And somehow or another, Biden wants to go out and call them the bad guys. He doesn't hold Iran accountable. He doesn't do anything about sanctions. Hamas has not been held accountable by our government. Certainly Israel is doing their part to hold them accountable. The fact that we're looking at an administration that would turn a back on not only, you know, one of our greatest allies in the region, but for those of us who are Christians who see them as God's chosen people in so many ways, how do we not stand with that nation? And it's just, it's astonishing to me. I mean, you've got 22 Arab countries and 52 Muslim countries. You've got this one little Israel state, you know, this one little Jewish state over there, and somehow they're called the bully in the region. I can't wrap my head around that.
Well, there's a lot of like external pressures here from the left. How do you think it really is like presidential politics? Like, hey, we gotta look like we're putting a foot on the brake here. And we'll win those voters in Michigan that we sorely need in that swing state. Is there an ideological component? I know it's probably a little bit of both, but, you know, this is, Congressman, like, this is kind of out of the norm for what America has typically done under Democrat and Republican administrations.
Absolutely. I mean, we have historically stood with Israel. I mean, they were our ally in the region. It didn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. I mean, my goodness, many of the Jewish donors donate to Democrats. Many of the people in this country that are Jewish descendants and people that call themselves people of Israel or Jewish people, they have given to the Democrats for years. And all of a sudden, this party has been hijacked by it's such a hard left turn by this administration. That I think that even they can't stomach it any longer. And I think that for some reason, the Democrats have turned their backs on the nation of Israel in many ways. And certainly this administration has. And this Department of Defense, these guys that are doing these sort of things to keep these weapons from reaching our allies in the region in Israel, it's astonishing to me. But I think it's certainly going to bottom from a donor standpoint and just a support standpoint in this November election. So Biden has this perfect storm of a wide open border, of crime increasing, inflation, which hurts the minorities, certainly in the communities and the middle class. And now all of a sudden, he even managed to alienate the Jewish liberal people in our country. It's astonishing to me, and it's no wonder they're just crashing and burning in the polls.
You mentioned the border there. That continues to be another trigger point, if you will, in this election cycle. I don't know. Maybe it's because we're focused on other things, but it doesn't seem like it's gone away just because the mainstream media, even the right-leaning media, aren't as honed in on it.
Yeah, no, we leaned into the border early on because it was just day one. I mean, you do away with the Remain in Mexico, you stop construction of the border wall, and then you give these folks a free cell phone and monthly payments from the government. They created this just wide-open border process, catch and release down there and apply for asylum. It was crazy how they just, and that was the issue early on. And we saw that as the issue in 21 and 22. But this administration has done so bad that 12 million people and the fentanyl killing 100,000 Americans a year is not even front page anymore. It's like we've got three wars brewing around the globe. You've got Ukraine, Russia's rattling sabers over there trying to take Ukraine. You got Iran and their proxies through Hamas and Hezbollah attacking our friends Israel. And then you got China rattling sabers. There is so much in inflation. Just throw that in there, Jeff. There are so many things this government, this administration is doing wrong and the Democrats are doing wrong that it's hard to really find one issue and say, hey, we're going to beat them on this issue because they can't get it right on a single issue anywhere you look.
Well, and let me ask you now, down ballot, we talk about this every week, but Congress, the Senate map, I think is pretty favorable for Republicans. I don't know what to think of the House. The House at times appears, a little bit of disarray there. Mike Johnson, he has his detractors, he has his supporters, but at some point, what's the business of Washington? What do you do? Have to put it aside and start running out there to maintain control of the House of Representatives. I mean, what do you think that? How do you think that is going to go?
Well, I think we'll maintain probably because of the dismal performance of Biden at the top of the ticket. I don't see somebody going in and saying, yeah, I want Donald Trump, but I want to vote a Democrat in who's going to impeach Trump day one. The voters have to educate themselves and understand that this will be just a circus if we let the Democrats back in control with Trump in the White House. They impeached him twice. They were constantly investigating. I mean, they've had him arrested. Why on earth would you give that party lead in the House where they have the articles of impeachment at their disposal, so to speak, that process, and then put Donald Trump in the White House? And so I think down the ballot, I just see it. I think people are so fed up. I hope they just straight pull the lever and go, hey, we're going to give the Republicans a shot. Like I said, I think we win the House. I think we win the White House, and certainly the Senate. But I think the House will be a little tighter because we have had our little hiccups here and there, and maybe people don't think we've been as aggressive as we need to be. But at the same time, I know that it's been tight majorities here. I hope they trust us a little more majority, for no other reason than the fact that Trump's going to be in the White House, and we saw how big a mess Pelosi and Schumer and Nadler and those guys, how they made it so hard on him to govern. If they would have gotten out of his way, the economy would have done well. The country would have done well. We would have been safe, and there would have been so many things about this nation that truly, truly would have made us the envy of the world. And so I think we have to hope that down the ballot people go, hey, let's give Trump and his party a shot. This country's in big trouble if we don't.
Do you think, let's, and this is hard to know because you don't know who's going to be elected, but this seemed to be like the problem last time around. Trump gets elected and, you had the House, you had the Senate, and nothing, the Senate didn't move on anything. Maybe with McConnell moving on, that it's going to be different this time. But, like, how as important is, I know we're kind of putting the cart before the horse here, but Republicans do pull it off, not like being caught up in this weird power struggle internally in the Republican Party.
Well, there is a power struggle internally in the power. Within our party, we see that. But I think it's because we see in the conservatives, the true conservatives, the populist candidates being elected into the Republican politics, and that's why we've seen these battles about the speaker, that sort of thing. I think that the try that in the small town folks of America are sending candidates here that are not normally establishment. They're not career politicians. And they're coming in, and they're even shaking up the party within its own ranks, the Republican Party. I think you see the House Freedom Caucus growing in that sense, Jeff. And I think we are forcing the party to follow the lines of what the American people want more so than just the system here in D.C. And so there is a little bit of a fuss within our own ranks, I think. But my hope is that we can eventually get a majority here that will govern in a way that really does represent the people and truly does move the centralized power out of the Washington, D.C. and back to the states and back to the American people, because this system is broken. We've called it swamp, and I think and Trump made some mistakes. He'll tell you he's got to come in and drain this thing, and that's cutting his top-level management and all these agencies and limiting their power. Don't let them make law by pen and ink and by order. In other words, they're constantly making these rules, whether it's the EPA or whoever. That stuff has to stop, and we have to start having a representative government. And I think the American people see that. I'm hopeful that we get a majority here and that Trump's in the White House and that we can, in fact, pull this party to the right and really represent, the populace in America.
Last question. We'll get you out of here on this. And I'm watching it looks like a press conference with Speaker Johnson, some other members of the House, but it's National Police Week, and the at least House Republicans are taking this very seriously. How important is it to remember to at least acknowledge law enforcement in times like this?
We have to, Jeff. They are our front line of defense. And I tell all the time, the left was the one they want to deny it now. They want to defund the police. And they started this chant of, you don't need guns, just call the police. And then a few months later, they're like, oh, we'll just defund the police. And the very constituents that they represent, they put them in harm's way. And so, we are doing some things. We've got a national police week. We're bringing some laws, some bills to the floor. Hopefully it'll make it into law. Just to say, hey, we want to support these guys. We want to support law enforcement. Know that the American people love you. Do not believe the liberal media. And that's one of the toughest jobs in America to do is to be a police officer today. Because, like I know, if you discharge your firearm, they're going to try to put you in prison. And if you don't discharge your firearm, they're going to put you 6 foot deep. So you end up either shooting someone in a last split second decision, trying to stop a crime or to prevent someone from getting harmed. And then you're in court and they prosecute you for that. But if you don't, you find yourself dead. And so these guys have a very tough job to do, and they need to know that we stand with them and their families. And I don't think that's something that should be partisan. That should be across the board. We should support our police.
Congressman, we've got to leave it there, but you're always very nice, very kind to make time for us. So we'll do it again.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Congressman Barry Moore there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Yes, there.